Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What it means to me to be a Chicago Bear, it's an easy question. It means everything to me.
It means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense, legends, linebackers,
the history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
The city, just the nostalgia of playing for a storied franchise, the storied franchise of the running back position with guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and being able to follow in those footsteps. So being a Bear means everything.
I mean, what more can you say?
The Denver Broncos.
Welcome into another Under Center podcast brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local Union 281. I'm JJ Stankovitz. My guest on our Broncos preview podcast today is Benjamin Albright, who hosts Broncos Country tonight on KOA AM in Denver. He also does the pre- and post-game show on the Broncos Radio Network. He's also a knowledgeable and entertaining presence on Twitter, where you can follow all of his tweets at Benjamin Albright. That's with two L's. Benjamin, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
So I want to start with this, Benjamin. What's the mood around Denver in the aftermath of Vic Fangio losing his first game as a Broncos coach Monday night?
I think there's definitely some disappointment that Broncos fans had felt like that was a game that probably should have and could have won. I think that the initial outrage at losing has kind of melted away, and now there's kind of going back to a cautious optimism. You know, this team was always going to take a few weeks to kind of gel. It's learning new systems on both sides of the ball. So I think that, once people took a step back, from the disappointment, the initial disappointment, the loss, and kind of examined it for what it was, that, perhaps there's still some room for optimism with this football team. I think that the major disappointment here is the fact that the usually reliable defense was the real letdown on Monday night.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that because, I think the Broncos hiring a defensive coach when the rest of the league is hiring offensive guys, was there sort of a expectation in Denver that Vic's defense might have, been good from week one, essentially, or was the thought that this is going to take a little while to kind of gel and get together?
Well, I think initially it was that it was going to be good from the jump, and, a combination of injuries and guys not being used to this scheme has kind of tempered that a little bit. The Broncos for the last, 7 years have been running a variant of the Wade Phillips defense, which it basically is predicated on generating as much pressure as you can out of the front seven and then putting everybody else on an island. You might see some cover one, but it's mostly cover one and cover zero. Vic Fangio's defense, as you guys well know, is almost the opposite of that. Vic wants to send as few as possible to get after the quarterback and play almost umbrella zone and challenge you to try to get the ball in those zones and turn you over. And so they've really kind of tried to balance the philosophical shift. And some of the guys, there's still some communication issues. And the fact that you had key injuries to Todd Davis, the guy who normally is the quarterback of the defense, and Bryce Callahan, the number two corner, unable to play, I think really kind of limited them and what they were able to do. Yottam clearly was not up to the task of being the number two corner, and they had some communication issues on the defense because Corey Nelson and Josie Jewell were filling in.
Right, I was going to ask you about Bryce Callahan and Yottam here. So I believe Callahan was limited in practice on Thursday as we're recording this, I think I saw.
Yes, both he and Todd Davis are mm-hmm. a little limited. I think Todd's going to get some snaps in that game. I would suggest that Callahan is still largely questionable.
So in his place, you mentioned Isaac Yiadom having a pretty rough day against the Raiders, especially with Tyrell Williams. Are there any other options the Broncos might have to go to? Whether it's, you know, could they theoretically move Kareem Jackson down there, or some of the guys they just recently picked up to pick up the slack if Callahan is not able to go?
Well, they've got Devontae Bosby, although he's really the dime corner. And then Duke Dawson, who they recently acquired from the Patriots, is a guy they're trying to get up to speed in the scheme. They just didn't feel like he was ready. So I think those would be the two options. I don't think Kareem Jackson will come down off the safety spot. They like the three-man rotation back there with he and Justin Simmons starting, and then Will Parks kind of being the dime backer, and then a guy who fills in for them on occasion as well. I think he got something like 20 snaps. He played about half of the snaps in that Raiders game, if I remember correctly. They like his ability to ball hawk, but Parks really isn't. I don't know, a full-time starter in any one of those. He's more of a platoon-type guy. So I suspect that it'll either be Bosby, Devontae Bosby, who was kind of a force in the Alliance of American Football, or Duke Dawson, who was a high draft pick by the Patriots but never really panned out.
Devontae Bosby, who I believe spent some time in Chicago during the dark days of this the John Fox era. What has sort of been the fan response and the fan and even in the media to Vic and how Vic kind of handles himself and is publicly presents himself publicly? Because I know we in Chicago here, I know we all loved Vic's candor in press conference settings, his kind of dry wit, you know, really endeared himself to the media corps here, to fans in Chicago. How has that kind of come across in Denver?
Well, it's kind of the same here as well. You know, I've been kind of notorious over the last couple of years for just skipping coaches' press conferences because there was nothing to be gleaned from them. Every day we'd come out here and get the exact same quotes from Vance Joseph about a good week of practice and, you know, just pabulum coaches' quotes where, you know, Vic Fangio kind of says what he means and means what he says. So I've had to start going to press conferences again. So thanks, Vic, for that, creating me an extra chore. But no, yesterday he was talking and describing the Khalil Mack, the run-up to acquiring Khalil Mack, and then, you know, once they acquired him. And he just gave some pretty humorous anecdotes. Most of them are not safe for radio, but he gives pretty humorous anecdotes about that and his genuine joy and surprise at acquiring Khalil Mack and get to use him and and that kind of stuff. It was just really fun. It wasn't like pablum coach speak, you know. It's not that usual thing you go to where they, you know, give it 110%. It's nice to get refreshing, honest quotes from a guy who's, you know, basically honest. And I think that's a refreshing change for a lot of us here at Denver Media.
All right, we're going to have more from Benjamin Albright previewing Bears and Broncos after the break, but first, fire sprinklers don't work without water. Get your building's fire pump tested ASAP. Go to sprinklerfitterschicago.org or call 708-597-1800. That's 708-597-1800. Sprinkler Fitters Local Union 281, protecting Chicagoland for over 100 years.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't count out the Denver Broncos.
On the offensive side of the ball, what's your impression of Elijah Wilkinson, who, you know, looks like he's going to be in line to start for the injured Juwan James, at least on Sunday and, you know, maybe for a couple weeks going forward?
Well, they're very, very high on Elijah Wilkinson. They were high on him before, you know, all this went down. He was basically the number one backup at four spots along the offensive line, left guard, left tackle, right guard, right tackle. There was a thought that he might eclipse Bowles on the left side, but ultimately they wanted to give Garrett one more chance, to be starter on the left side. They're very, very excited about him, and in limited action, he's looked pretty good. His first snap out there, he's a little slow off the ball, but other than that, he played very, very well, very serviceably. I think his natural position is left guard, but playing that right tackle position certainly hasn't seemed to have been a problem for him. I think that they're confident in his ability. I still think that they're probably going to chip to his side, get a little help early against Khalil Mack. But I think that they're confident in his ability.
Is this an offense that can essentially do what some teams did to the Bears last year, obviously what the Raiders did to the Broncos on Monday? Is this offense designed to get the ball out quick, or because it is kind of that stretch zone play action type offense, is it not as easy for this offense to get the ball quick and kind of take the edge rushers out of it?
Well, there's not a whole lot of things to get the ball out of it. You know, the Raiders ran a lot of quick slant, flat, wide stick type stuff. And then this offense really isn't predicated on that. It's wide zone and then boot action to the backside for the, you know, for the deep chunk type stuff. So there's really not a lot of quick stuff to it. Ideally, they get the run game going downhill. You get to biting on that run game, and then, you know, like I said, they come back boot action and hit you with a, you know, 25 to 30 yard play on the deep cross. The idea in drafting Noah Fant was that he could kind of be the athletic guy underneath and help out with that, but he's been hit or miss. You know, there's some plays he looks really good, and there's some plays where you're like, oh, wow, that's a rookie. So, you know, that is the concern, I think, with this team. They really don't have that reliable, underneath, quick-hit kind of play or players.
Is there anything that you saw from Joe Flacco Monday night that, you know, for folks here in Chicago, they should be at all worried about him being able to do against their defense, or do you kind of see that this being a very good matchup for the Bears' defense?
Oh, I think it's good in points. I think philosophically, Pagano going against this offense is probably better than Vic. You know, Vic liked that umbrella zone, and at times you're able to run on that. Pagano is a little more aggressive at sending guys, and I think that's going to benefit their personnel just a little bit more. I think that if you can bottle up the run, if you can bottle up Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay, that's really going to be the key to make them one dimensional. Joe Flacco is not mobile at all. Whatever mobility he once had is completely gone. He's like Derek Anderson back there in terms of kind of being a statue. And the thing about Joe is he's a little slow on the read, but he's got the arm strength, the quick release to kind of make up for it. So, you know, if you give him the time to throw, if he gets it 2.5 or 3 seconds, he's going to get the ball out. But if you get to him, and you can get to him, you know, you could put it behind the chains, and that's the key. If the Broncos come out early, you know, on first down, you know, passing, and you can put them behind schedule, you can make them one-dimensional pretty quickly.
So I know, you know, people here in Chicago know the big names on Denver, you know, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, Chris Harris, Phillip Lindsay, Flacco, you know, et cetera. But given the Bears only play the Broncos once every 4 years, you know, is there a guy or two who maybe isn't well-known in these parts of the NFC who maybe should be someone Bears fans should be interested in seeing on Sunday?
Well, on the offensive side of the ball, the two names you didn't mention that you're going to see a lot of, Royce Freeman, the number two running back, and kind of the between the tackles power guy. And then a wide receiver opposite Emmanuel Sanders, a guy named Cortland Sutton. Sutton's a heck of an athlete. He's more athlete than receiver at this point, more of a four-route guy. But you know, he's got a big body and some speed, and covering him one-on-one is a chore for a corner. You probably want safety help with that. On the defensive side of the ball, names you didn't mention, I think Justin Simmons, he's in a contract year, plays one of the high safeties, real rangy guy. You get that ball out there, he'll pick you off. He has like 7 or 8 interceptions in training camp this year. And then Adam Gotsis. Gotsis plays the other defensive end spot away from Derek Wolf, real high motor guy, is all over the field, chasing guys down, disruptive in the backfield, really doesn't get his due. Player from Australia, just an interesting cat. But he's a very good football player, very underrated for what he does.
So you've been, you know, around the Broncos, around Denver for a little while. What is it that makes the Broncos difficult to beat at home early in the season? You know, the numbers are, they haven't lost at home in week 2 since 1979. I think it's a 12-game winning streak at home in weeks 1 and 2 of the season. Does the altitude play a factor when guys aren't really in complete football shape yet, or is this just kind of a random thing that comes along with the Broncos being a pretty good team over the last couple decades?
Well, I think it's both, but I think you hit the nail on the head with the altitude deal. You're 1 week, 2 weeks into the season, and you're just not in game shape. And you come up here, man, you don't realize how much that altitude will sap you, especially if you're you're a big guy. I'll tell you this: when I moved out here in 2011, and I moved out here, and the first place I stayed at before I bought a house, I lived in a third story apartment. And those first, I don't know, the first month I was here, trying to walk up 3 flights of stairs, I'd be winded halfway up them, and I was in pretty good shape. So it's, you know, it'll drain you. You don't realize how much it takes out of you. You get something as high intensity as football, and you're a big guy lugging all that weight around, it can really gas you. So, you know, if you can find a way to keep your offensive line and defensive line fresh, you know, you stand a chance. But most of these teams lose these games about midway through the third quarter when they run out of gas, and that Broncos downhill zone running attack tends to just wear you out and takes over.
Kind of last one for you, Benjamin. I know you are pretty plugged into the rest of the NFL. Just curious, from afar, what are your impressions of Mitch Trubisky?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people were really hoping this would be the year Mitch takes that leap forward. It was always going to take Mitch longer to develop. You know, he's a guy who didn't get as many reps in college as some of the other guys did. You know, Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes each, I think, had something over 1,000 passing attempts in college, and Trubisky had somewhere close to 25% of that. So it was always going to take him a little while longer just by virtue of the fact that he hadn't had the reps that those guys did and seen as much, you know, out there throwing the ball. But, you know, watching that game against the Packers, and the Packers, by the way, have a very good defense. It's underrated. You know, they've been known as an offensive team the last couple of years. I think people underestimate that defense. But one of the things about Trubisky that really bugs me is to that left third of the field, he just doesn't seem to see it or throw well to that left third of the field at all. And I don't know what that is. So, but if you're a team and you're trying to defend him, I suggest you try to limit him to the middle two-third, middle of the right third of the field, and you try to lock that down and force him to do what he's not been particularly successful at. And I think that's probably the key to containing him. I'd like to see him use his legs a little bit more, buy a little more time and take off in chunks and force people to play contain instead of coming downhill at him in a pass rush. But, I'm hoping he can become the player everybody thought he was. I just, right now, he's just not there yet.
Really good stuff, Benjamin. Before I let you go, can you just remind the listeners where they can find you online and over the airwaves?
Yeah, you can find me on the Broncos flagship, 850 KOA, pre- and post-game, and Broncos Country Tonight every night. And you can unfollow me on Twitter at AlbrightNFL.
Well, I just followed you on Twitter, and I've admired your work from afar for a little while, so I don't know why I wasn't following you in the first place.
Well, I'm sorry your Twitter feed is about to be monopolized by my nonsense, but hopefully you stick around. I'll get you to follow back if I haven't already.
All right, looking forward to it, Benjamin. Thank you so much.
All righty, take care.
For monster coverage of the Monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.